Thank you. You may be seated. Again, thank you, Janelda. Really appreciate your leading us and helping us to rejoice in a vibrant way through the instruments this morning. Well, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5 in the New Testament. Ephesians chapter 5, we're going to get here in a minute or three, but that'll be the first scripture that I'll refer to that I want us to at least read some of it. And so it's there for us. So we've been talking about being on solid footing. And one of the things that occurs to me is that often we need to talk about outcomes. Like, what do I want to see? If I'm on solid footing, spiritually speaking, with God, and I have spiritual health as a person, and a multiple persons having spiritual health means that we are a healthy church family, what does that look like? And one of the prime indicators of being on solid ground as a person or as a church family is joy. The joy says that I am so in fellowship with God that the character of God begins to be evident in me, and God and I have great fellowship, and because of that, I have joy. But another indicator very closely connected, of course, would be thanksgiving and gratitude. And so when I speak today of having solid footing and being a thankful people, when people come through that door, if we're a bunch of grumps and we're not very good to be around, not very fun to be around, this would not be a healthy church. The very fact that we rejoice that we can kid with one another in a tasteful way, I hope, and we can make fun of one another, and we can uplift one another, and we can be thankful for one another, is such a positive indicator of God being present with us and living around us. So I think that being on solid ground, if I were to walk into a church, one of the indicators right off will be, is this a thankful people? Or do I sense an oppression going on here? That's not good. We want to be thankful. And there's no greater time than Thanksgiving. I think that all the events on the Christian calendar, and even on our secular calendar that emphasize, let's just stop and think about something here, is these things are very appropriate. Whether you're talking about Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, whatever opportunity we have to stop and reflect and remember, particularly the goodness of God, are very fitting. But part of what we're getting at today isn't just a celebration of Thanksgiving, as good as that is. It's being able to develop a life that every day is characteristic of being thankful. In other words, some changes have happened in my life. I've been thinking this last week that there are certain traits that I used to pray about in me 20 or 30 years ago or 40 years ago. And you pray about it, you leave it with the Lord, you trust the Lord, you wrestle, you stumble, you fall sometimes, you get up and you say, Lord, I'm sorry, and you walk on. But I was thinking this past week how that thankfulness is one of those things that God has continued to develop in me. And in recent years, it's become like the heartbeat. You know, I want to be a thankful person. You need to read my article that's in the Berlin News Tribune coming out this Wednesday. It's called Grumpy Old Men. And to start out, I talk about the issue that down at the nursing home here, when I'm talking mostly to ladies, sometimes there's one or two men there, I'll say, you know, I've made a choice in life not to be one of those grumpy old men. And they remember the 1993 movie, and they're just grinning from ear to ear. And then I'll turn and say, and God doesn't favor grumpy old women either. Now they're really grinning. And I hope we improve with age. I hope we grow. I hope we become the thankful people that God wants us to be. So in thinking of this, yes, we have so much around Thanksgiving weekend of all the sights and the smells and the family gatherings. And we read about carts being full during the harvest season. And for us, it means carts and wagons and trucks and trains and freezers and warehouses. And God is just, we live in a great part of the world. Blenheim, the heart of the Golden Acres. And God has just blessed us in our community, and we have been able to give. I sometimes read through Luke chapter 12, because sometimes I think that farmers ought to be almost the first type of people, and I was raised on a farm, the first people who recognize God's part in the land, in growing things, and ought to be the first people to bow the knee and to give thanks to God. But sometimes I read Luke chapter 12, where it talks about a farmer who was very progressive, but he was not rich toward God. And God says, you know, you fool, this very night your soul will be demanded of you. And then whose will all your goods be? It's a sad parable, but Jesus is bringing up the point that we need to be those who are thankful and give thanks to God and become rich toward God in terms of our relationship with Him and not stand before Him absolutely broke and poor. So how do we approach being a thankful people? And I just want to take some farming principles a little bit and apply them, because thankfulness isn't something that comes automatically. And so let me just think about farming, and I'm going to refer to the parable of the sower a little bit later on, but it might go something like this. There is an understanding among farmers that God makes things grow. Now, they may not say it, but the odd word slips once in a while. I hope the good Lord is, and they'll say to me as I'm driving, like, Bill, do you have any connections? We don't need rain for the next 3 days, you know, whatever. But they're acknowledging that there is a supreme being, and they could do all the hard work, but if it doesn't grow, they can't make it grow. God makes things grow. And that's a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 3 in verse 7. He's the creator. He is the sustainer. He's the one who gives life to all. In Acts chapter 17, by Him we live, we move, we have our being. And if we don't believe that, the very gift of the next breath, if it doesn't come, proves that we're not in control. There is God. And life is so fragile. In the case of an infection or an autoimmune disease, how many people who were healthy today, an hour later, were on the brink? You know, we just, sometimes we need to discover how frail we are in order to look to God. It is only God who makes things grow. He's the author of life, the scriptures tell us. And so this is basic when it comes to handling plant life, human life, or even spiritual life. In Hebrews chapter 10, he's called the living God. But also in Matthew 22, he's called the God of the living. Every evidence of life is evidence of the existence of God. Every evidence of life being present is evidence of the existence of God. He is the creator and the sustainer of all things. And today we need to appreciate this and give thanks. We are totally dependent upon Him. Nothing that we have in any way we have except that we received it. We received it from God and He's given it to us. So when it comes to basic farming or when it comes to developing a characteristic in our life like thanksgiving, it all begins with an understanding that it's God who makes things grow. That's where we begin. And then another step. It's an understanding in farming that we need to prepare the soil Every farmer understands that, and we do too. It's the matter of clearing the land, plowing, disking, harrowing, fertilizing, creating receptive soil. Isn't that what it's all about? Cultivating conditions where plants or produce can grow. Now, you don't have to do much if you want grass to grow, alder bushes, and weeds. But if you want anything that's productive and that helps us, it is something that needs to be prepared, starting with preparing the soil. The issue in the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8 and also in other Gospels refers to four kinds of soils upon which seed is thrown. He's just thinking of the farmer. And you can sow seed and it can fall along the path. We call it around here a little bit the headland. It's the places where the tractors go so they don't tramp the crops and other vehicles go. But if seed falls on the headland or along the path, what happens? It just gets squashed and it doesn't grow. And so we all understand that. Farmers throw down some seed and it falls on rocky soil. And rocky, gravelly soil with lots of stones in it, it's hard for plants to get their roots down. So they may pop up at first, but when they really need some nourishment, there's just rocks. There's nothing there. And then you throw down other seed, and yes, there are a lot of things like thorns. And so in the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about the thorny soil. And it chokes out good seed. But he said the ultimate goal of any sower is to throw the seed into good soil. Because if it can take root and find nourishment, that seed grows. And Jesus just takes that in that parable. It's a picture. It's a commonly known picture of farming. And he applies it to growing spiritual characteristics in our lives. And he says that good seed, that's God's word. And the different types of soils are a picture of the condition of the human heart. And so, for instance, when we hear God's word or we see God's word and it touches a heart that is hard like a path, it pictures the fact that God's word sometimes is just trampled by the devil. Or he takes it away so that people don't think about it. And therefore, because of that, God's word doesn't have much place in our lives at all. We just squish it out. It's suppressed. It's kept away. It's flattened. But then another type of heart that Jesus refers to is the one that is a rocky heart. That's when we hear God's word and, well, we hear it and it's somewhat surface. Haven't got much time to think about it, so it doesn't take root in our minds and our hearts. And so the benefit of hearing God's word doesn't grow either. It may look like it grows for a little bit, but then it's not nourished. And so God's word doesn't help character to change because we don't give it the rightful place in our hearts. And then Jesus refers also to the thorny soil. And he actually says there that there are some things that can distract us. We may hear God's word and we think, well, this is great. But we have other distractions, and he names them actually. He says the worries of life. So distracted by all your fears that trying to get faith in God's word in our heart may be something that's very difficult. And then he speaks of the fact that there might be a thorn that would be called riches. I don't need God. I have everything. And so I'm dependent on myself and I'm not so dependent on him. And then he even speaks of pleasures and how they distract us also from allowing God's word to take root in our lives. The condition of our heart in terms of growing spiritual character in our lives is likened unto the condition of the soil when it receives seed. And so in God's mind, the heart that he really wants us to have is a heart that is referred to as good soil. And that's when my heart is open and my heart is eager and I have a thirst and I listen and I retain good seed, the word of God. I receive it. I believe it. And I surrender to him. So God makes things grow is very important. But me having a heart that is receptive to the word of God, this good seed that God wants me to hear and take in and allow it to be a part of me and to receive it truly and to truly believe it, this is God's will for us. He wants us to have that as an attitude of life. Not always fighting with the rocks in my life and the thorns in my life and just trampling God's word along the path as if that isn't important. No. Every farmer knows you need to have good soil. God needs hearts that have been cultivated so that they're open to receive his word when he speaks and when we read it and not just receive it and say, oh, isn't that nice, but rather receive it and say, wow. And so we appreciate what he has. This is so important when it comes to developing any trait where I am helpless to create that trait in my own life. God makes it grow. I need to surrender to his good seed that he gives me through his word. The other understanding that a farmer has is that the seed itself must be good. And so, for instance, in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, we read there that a man reaps what he sows. Actually, just flip back a few pages to this little text. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Every time. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that sinful nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, God's Spirit, from that Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at a proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the household of faith. This text gives us an understanding that we need to give careful thought to the seed that we receive. A farmer pays attention to the seed and to all the crossbreeding and the danger. Is there mold there? Are there other things? I mean, to make sure that this seed is good seed. Because I could do all the planting, and if this seed is not good, maybe it's not good in that soil, then it would be a waste. And so in our lives, we need to be very careful, give careful thought, make good choices regarding the kind of things that I'm sowing in this heart. This heart will respond, and the seed sown will have an outcome. As Jesus says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak, based upon what I sow in there. This is very important because I will reap what I sow. And so he says here, don't be deceived. God's not mocked. If you sow good things, you'll reap good things. If you're going to sow to your sinful nature bad things, the outcome will be bad things every time. So I need to think about what I plant in my life. The fact that God has given me a free will is a great gift. But the free will that I have does not operate independent of outcomes. It doesn't operate independent of consequences. Every choice has a consequence. Not only that, but my free will doesn't operate independent of me being responsible for my choices and actually being accountable to God. What we sow influences our souls. And what we sow also influences the souls of others. Whether we be living on earth or preparing for eternity. So not only does God make things grow, and the fact is I need to make sure my heart is open, but I need to plant good things. Now, where does all this come down to Thanksgiving? Because if I'm planting criticism and just being angry and having dissatisfaction and discontentment in my life and always being down in the mouth and focusing on the negative and life has treated me so bad, we can find any reason. We can justify being a grump. And any one of us here can come up with 101 reasons why I should be angry and why I should be grumpy. And you can sow that type of seed in your heart and you will be grumpy. Okay? Being a grump's contagious. It just isn't us. It just influences or taints my character. It has a tendency to taint anybody around me. And that's why I have made a choice, and God help me not to be one of those grumpy old men. That is not a pleasant place to be. It's not a good place to live. And certainly people don't want to be around me. And people don't want to be around a grumpy church either. That's why we need to be a thankful people. So let me just bring up here one last thing. It is an understanding that the farmer wants to make a difference. So he tends to the soil. And he is very careful what seed he puts in that soil. Because to do something wrong would be very negative in its outcome. In a positive sense, he wants to make a difference, not just for his livelihood, but in providing for so many others. And as a Christ follower, developing the trait of thanksgiving not only benefits me, it changes the quality of my life. Jesus said, I come that you may have life more abundantly. And I'm living the dream. And part of that for me is thankfulness. But not just that. I want to influence others and make a difference because it is fun to be around me. That hopefully I will have a tendency to lift people up and encourage and look for the good things and commend the commendable things and to be an encourager and to be thankful and to live on that plane. That's where God wants us to be. The outcome that we desire is to make a difference for God's kingdom and for our spiritual health and just having abundant living on earth. So I have some options in making a difference. Let me just sum up a little bit this way. It can be garbage in, garbage out, quite simply. Or it can be godliness within and godliness without. I stop and I become thankful and I take in all these good things that God has. He's given us ears and eyes and senses and all. I take in, wow, look at everything that God has. Just go sit in your backyard and look out there and look at what God has done. Look in your Bible. Look at what God has done. Now I'm taking in and out of the overflow of whatever's in there and taking root and growing, I have a character that's being transformed. And now I'm moving beyond being an unthankful, ungrateful person to the point where I overflow. Both grumpiness and godliness make an impact. They have influence. And both of them feed into lives, one for worse and one for better. And I want to be a thankful person. I was thinking of this. So I choose to sow, because what I sow, I will reap. And that's an indicator of God in me. And certainly, I want God through me and God around me. And that's spiritual health. And that's what we need to have as a church. We're becoming more like Jesus. I'm avoiding the trap of becoming a grumpy old man or a grumpy old woman. That isn't what God wants. I need to be a person who knows the joy of walking in life with God. Sometimes I think it's like Psalm 65. And I know that maybe some of you younger people here don't remember, but at some railway crossings, and we've mentioned this through the years because it is so appropriate, at some railway crossings, they used to have a crossing sign like this, and it said on it, "Stop, look, and listen." Why? Because you need to be very careful what you're doing here. You need to be careful about timing. You need to be careful about actions. You need to stop. And quite literally, today is a day, and every day there ought to be those moments when, whether we stop or not, we really stop in our thinking and we look around, we look and we listen and we thank God. Look at how He has blessed us. Busyness can be the enemy of the soul. If we have no time to stop and find balance, even the Lord created nighttime to stop our work that we do in the daytime. The Lord made it a command to observe the Sabbath day. Why? To stop and worship. And we believe in the Lord's day. And though we're not legalistic and say, well, I can't go and milk a cow on the Lord's day. I can't chop wood because I need it for my... the reality is, having a time of rest regularly in our lives, where we just stop and we look and we listen, is a healthy habit to create thanksgiving. And this is what God wants in our lives. Philippians 2 tells us, it is God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. So as a person and as a church family, today is a day just to remind us that, yes, we have so much to be thankful for, but I need to continue to develop as a thankful person. I need to exude thankfulness. If Edna McGregor could be here, and you'll notice her picture out by our elevator, the elevator was donated in her memory, because Edna, who died a few years ago at 105, was known as one who taught us how to be a thankful person. She was a joy to be around. She encouraged and she lived it. So God help us today. May He enable us to bring about a thankful spirit, to be a thankful people, to represent Jesus well. Now, recognizing that we all need help with this, and it is God who makes things grow, I've chosen to repeat a closing song that was done a few weeks ago, but we all loved it, and I think it's very appropriate to do it again. It talks about little by little, every day, little by little, in every way. Jesus is changing me. And we need to make a turnabout face, some of us. Some of us just need to continue on and grow. But one thing is sure, when we are a thankful people, we are planted on solid ground. This is where God wants us to be. So let's stand. Now, this is on the video, and I think we sing along with it. The words may be there. We can pick up and go with the song leader. Stand together. Well, if you would like to book a time to come and purchase from the yard sale downstairs, just see my wife about that. And again, spread the word. Other than that, have a great Thanksgiving yourself and with your family or whoever you're getting together with. Let's pray. Our Father, for some of us here, becoming a thankful people has been a journey. Sometimes you send into our lives people who aren't thankful, and they've influenced us in a negative way. Sometimes we grew up in homes where negativity often was there instead of encouragement. Sometimes the things that we learn from our parents or even grandparents are a part of our lives too. And we've needed to confess that those things are wrong according to your plan for us. And we had to ask you to help us to change. And it has been little by little. But we thank you that when we entrust ourselves to you as the God who makes things grow, and we do the work within our heart to be open to your word and your teaching, and when we plant good things in our lives, then the outcome is a good product. So today, help us to approach being a thankful people. May you enrich us, and may this honor you, and make the teaching about God our Savior attractive. In this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.